How are music therapists changing the lives of people in Canada?
What is the latest research and trends?
You are tuned into the Canadian Music Therapy Podcast,
and we will explore these questions with our guest today.
Let's get started.
Welcome to the Canadian Music Therapy Podcast. We are your hosts, Adrian and Kathy. On today's show, we are speaking with Pam Landsbergen from the Canadian Association of Music Therapists. Pam will share more about her decade-long journey with the CAMT, along with some key initiatives she's been involved with. Pam also tells us about her biggest learning moment and her thoughts on the future of music therapy in Canada.
And here's a little more about Pam. Pam has been working for CAMT since 2013, with a focus on delivery of member services, volunteer management, event management, and systems development. When not at work, Pam enjoys spending time with her husband, cats, and dog. She is an avid trail runner and serves as race coordinator for Phoenix Trail Races in London, Ontario.
Welcome to the podcast, Pam. We are excited to have you here from the London area of Ontario.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
We are excited to talk to you about your role at the Canadian Association of Music Therapists. And so I want to start with trying to find out a little bit more about how you came to be in your current role with CAMT.
It's been a bit of a journey. I did a music therapy undergrad degree at the University of Windsor, which I graduated from way back in 2005. And then became a certified music therapist, MTA, in 2007 after doing an internship. And I was working mostly in long-term care, doing some recreation work, but music therapy contracts as well. And what I was finding within my first few years is that because I live in a rural area, I didn't really feel I had a connection to my profession. I wasn't really interacting with other music therapists. And I wanted to fix that. So I reached out to get involved. And in the summer of 2009, the Music Therapy Association of Ontario was actually looking for somebody to just represent them at an exhibit opportunity. And I thought, what the heck? And I said yes to that option and spent the day representing MTAO. And the person that I was sharing this exhibit opportunity with was Dr. Laurel Young. So it was a very eye-opening day chatting with Laurel as we chatted with the people at this event. Music therapy, about MTAO, about CAMT, and it just sparked something in me, and she could see that. So shortly after that, I was invited to join the CAMT board. They were currently looking for someone to for the title website liaison, which it was a new position, so we didn't really know what that meant yet. But we knew it was someone who would work with our website developer and tell them about what we needed from our website and how we could make those changes. And I stayed on the board for about 4 years, and really, really enjoyed it, felt really inspired, learned so much more about that side of music therapy that I never would have learned if I wasn't in that position. And coming into 2013, I was just in a point with my career and my life where I found myself having too much going on and had to reevaluate. And, you know, when you set your priorities in life, there's family, there's work, there's all these things. And I realized volunteering was at the bottom of that list. So I had decided to leave the CAMT board. And then as soon as I made that decision, I was so sad. I was so disappointed. I was like, I really love doing this. It just so happened that at that time, CAMT, the board was also looking to hire a full-time music therapist to be executive assistant for the association. And again, this was going to be something new that had never been done before. And I thought, you know, what if? So I sent the CAMT president, who was Jennifer Buchanan at the time, an email and said, what if I was that person? And she wrote back and she said, well, that could be great. And these are all, she told me all the steps I would have to take that included, you know, stepping down from the board. And there was a few other steps in between, but and I wasn't much of a risk taker in my life, but I decided this was a risk I had to take. So steps and did all the application, and I was hired to be the executive assistant for CAMT, the first full-time salaried employee for the organization.
Wow. That's amazing. I love that you were, you know, had that nudge and thought, I'm just going to reach out to Jennifer, see what's involved, put yourself out there. That's cool.
Thanks. Yeah, I was, I think I surprised myself and everyone else who knew me too, but I'm so glad I did it. So that was December 1st of 2013 was my first day working full time for CAMT. And since then, I've worked with six different CAMT presidents. Adrian, you were number two of the six. and now executive directors of the association, which was first Jennifer Buchanan, and then now our executive director is Robert Rothon. And my title shifted over that time from executive to assistant to now manager of operations. I can't believe it's been a decade and all the things I've been part of, but that's how I got to where I am right now.
Oh, wow. That's great. Thank you for sharing that with us. So I'd love to know more about some of the key developments you've been involved with over the years. And what would you say would be your biggest learning you've had?
That's an awesome question. It feels like working for CAMT has been one continuous goal towards development, like always more development. Every year we're trying to progress something or do something better or introduce something new, which I think is really important because that's what our members need. But when I look at it all as a whole, a couple of things that jump out at me is the internship and certification process. And I'm going back to even before I worked for CAMT. When we first were a very young organization in the late 70s, and the MTA credential was first started, you'd be flying to Toronto or to Vancouver just to get your credential. Mm-hmm. Obviously, as the association grew, that wasn't going to continue to be something that could be done, something feasible. So then roll around to the 2000s when I was getting my credential, we had to create these big, it was called your accreditation file, and it was everything you'd done in your internship, what all your education was. There were ethical questions, case studies, and you had to send it all in a black 1-inch three-ringed binder that was very specific, and you had to send three copies. So you put your three binders in the mail to the CAMT office, and then they were distributed to a group of volunteers called the Accreditation Review Board, and they would look at everything, and 6 to 12 months later, you would get your answer, which was either, yes, you're accredited now, or you need to redo something and we'll look at it again. It was this hugely cumbersome process and a long, long wait. But when you got it, you still didn't care because you're on your MTA and oh my gosh, you could continue with your work. So by the time I started working for CAMT, that was still kind of what was being done, only by then we'd upgraded to somebody could send in three CDs with all of their content on a CD instead of the 1-inch binders.
Wow, you skipped the floppy disk phase, or?
I think so, yeah.
We wiped the range of CDs.
I know, so innovative, right? and then in 2014, after a lot of research and considering a lot of different options, the board decided it was time for us to start using the exam that's administered by the Certification Board for Music Therapists, which is an organization of the states. And now people have to take that exam in order to become an MTA. Taking the exam doesn't make them an MTA, it makes them a MTBC. That's the credential that's given by that organization. But then they can send that proof of getting that credential to CAMT and they sign a statement of adherence to our code of ethics and standards of practice and become an MTA.
Nice. Yeah.
It's been a journey to get us to that point, but that is one of the major developments I have been part of over the years.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to ask, you know, you were talking about like the lengthy process, like how long it would take. So for those listening who are really new in the profession and wondering how long it might take to get certified, what would be that time frame, would you say?
You know what? Now, someone who, as they come to the end of their internship, somebody could become an MTA within a month of finishing their internship. It could be that quick if all their ducks are in a row. Sometimes it still takes people a little while to, you know, take some extra time to study, or perhaps sometimes there's like a piece of paperwork that's needs to be found or something like that. So it's not always that fast, but yeah, it can't happen that quickly now.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of mind-boggling to think what a change it's been.
Yeah, 100%. And what would you say your biggest learning has been?
My biggest learning with CAMT, I think, has been to be okay when something doesn't work the first time. Mm. My role has developed organically over time, and so did my previous role. I seem to be drawn to that sort of thing. And what I've learned is that we have to keep trying. And if we roll out a process and it ends up being messier than we expected, that's okay. It happened. Accept it for what it is and find a better way. And then just like, it's constantly like troubleshooting and figuring things out and having to learn like new systems, new platforms, but all to find that new way to make things better. Yeah, because at first I remember it being, can feel like a failure when something doesn't work right the first time around, but learning that that's okay and just to find the better process.
I think that's true for everyone, right? You know,
yeah, I think so.
Just like, okay, it didn't work, let's find the learning, you know, move it forward, change something, and go and do what you need to do there. Cool, thank you. Thanks, Pam.
Pam, you have absolutely been the right person in the right place at the right time through all of the changes over the last 10 years and more. And I think it's so important that you brought your own experience as a music therapist to the first employee position. And then all of your innovation. When you look back on it, you used the word new, like we're trying something new, we're going to take a risk. And I have to highlight your quote, what the heck, just say yes and try that. Like, I love that you said that. Like,
I what the heck? Said that.
You did. I'm going to do it. I'm going to try. And it's, you know, it might feel uncomfortable, but boy, it was a good thing. And it has been a very good thing. And so I am now
Thanks
speaking.
So much.
You're welcome. And I'll speak for music therapists across the country who all know who Pam is and say thank you. And you will be missed. But thank you for everything you've done in this role over these years. And I think you probably just touched the tip of the iceberg in terms of all of the things and all the changes that have come through, including having the first executive director step in.
That was huge. Yeah. And, you know, that was so strategic when the board did that and made such a big difference, because it brought us to a new level where the board could look at things in a new way, because they didn't have to be thinking about the nitty gritty of running the association anymore. And I could go on and on, but it's.
Yeah. And I'll just say, I know that you personally learned a lot about board governance to help navigate that whole process and really helped the board to understand through all of the changes through the years to make such big changes come to fruition. So a question we'd love to hear about is, what do you love most about your work?
How long do you have? Okay. I've been thinking about this because I knew you would ask me something like this, and I came down to two tasks that I love more than any other tasks in my job, but also two things that I find incredibly fulfilling in general. I'll start with the fulfilling things. Being that I am a music therapist as well, as I came into this position, has allowed me to really understand what members are asking for when they call, whether it be how do I get through this process or how do I find this resource or anything else. So I've been able to answer with understanding and compassion. And I've it's always been really important to me that whatever work I'm doing, like that I can like tangibly see that I'm being helpful to other people. And I really do feel like being in this position has allowed me to support all the music therapists in Canada in a real way. And the announcement of my resignation, it's really overwhelming because I received so many messages of kindness and thanks that really make that hit home for me. Yeah. The other thing, and I've already touched on this when we were talking about what I've learned, it's just the learning to constantly like troubleshoot and creatively think, but keep all these details in my head and learn new platforms and systems. And that's been really cool. Like, it feels like I could take those skills anywhere with me.
I'm so glad to hear that. And so that you have heard from so many people with gratitude for your work. And I mean, your heart has always been in it and your passion and dedication, and members feel that.
Thank you. Okay, on that note, the two tasks I love most, one is printing and mailing out MTA certificates. So people that aren't in our profession don't know this, but our certificate, like when you get your MTA credential, it's not like a downloadable PDF, like you went to a one-day workshop or something. It's branded, like practically cardboard, and there's a seal and there's signature. Like it's something that's still put together physically for each person individually. And I love mailing those out because I remember how I felt when I got mine. And my other favorite thing is when we have CAMT conference and I get to be in person either or live online, depending on the year, with the people I work for, because it's always been behind the scenes work, but that's like the point of connection and it totally fills me up. And the other really amazing thing about CAMT bringing on an executive director, which opened up our capacity to do more things, is that we were able to host the World Congress of Music Therapy in Canada this past July. And that's the first time that's ever happened in Canada. It was more than a three-year project. We put our heart and souls into it. It was an amazing learning opportunity. And I think it really put Canada on the board in a bigger way for the international music therapy community. So I'm so grateful I got to be part of that.
And conferences, it's such a pinnacle of all of your work and everyone coming together. Yeah, and there is so much connection, and it's just so important to have had you at the heart of that to this time. Mm-hmm. Now, a question that I often ask, and so our listeners are familiar with this one, but I think we'd love to really hear your perspective on this. What do you think the future holds for music therapy in Canada?
I know you love that question, and it's such a good question. In a word, more. There's been so much growth in our profession in the last 10, 15 years, in so many ways. First and foremost, there's so many more music therapists in Canada, so many more MTAs in Canada than there ever was before. I had a funny moment last month. When I was talking with our operations assistant and we were talking about people's MTA credentials, every MTA has a 4-digit code that's their MTA number, as you know, Adrian. and they've always gone sequentially. And my number is 0372. That means I was like the 372nd music therapist to get an MTA in Canada ever. And in December, we certified music therapist number 1372. It was like, wow, that's amazing. And wow, I feel old, all in one. but it just shows like how much growth there's been, and I think there's just going to be more of that. And so there's more jobs and there's more interviews. There's more talking about Music therapy. There's more music therapy research, and I think there's going to be more of music therapists collaborating with other professionals and more about other professionals knowing what we are and what we do. And I think it's just going to keep building momentum.
Beautiful. We have so much hope for the future.
Yeah. But with that, I feel that music therapists in Canada will be continue to be able to depend on CAMT. And I think that the MTA credential is at the core of that, because no matter what other specializations music therapists go on to do after their music therapy training or what population they end up working with, it all starts with the MTA and that being our gold standard and making sure people have those skills before they enter the workforce. And I think that's, everything else may grow, but that's still going to be the core that we can all depend on.
Very important words for everyone to hear, and really has been at the heart of your work. Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing with us today, Pam. It has just been a pleasure to have you with us, and so important for everyone to hear your voice as we say farewell, and also so much joy in the next phase of your career.
Thank you for joining us on the Canadian Music Therapy Podcast. To learn more about resources from the show, please visit beyondthestudio.ca.
Thanks for listening.